Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. A very good Monday to everybody. Greg Likens alongside Ira Winterman filling in for Hawk and Crowder. Hope everybody is doing well. Big game last night in the NBA Finals as the Warriors even the series at one apiece thanks to a 109-104 victory in Toronto. For more on that, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. As all guests appear there, you can buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. And it is great that we have a chance to welcome in Mark Jones, play-by-play broadcaster from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at MarkJonesESPN. Mark, thank you very much for joining the show. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Series got a little bit more interesting yesterday with the Warriors stealing one there in Toronto.
Certainly.
When it looked like they were leaking a little bit of oil down the stretch.
It did, and Ira and I have been talking about it, but what did you think overall? We'll talk more specifics. What did you think overall about how last night's game played out?
I think the Warriors basically were the team they've been for most of the playoffs. That game one performance was a team that had been off for 9-10 days, and the rust was falling off by the second. So I think they basically got back to who they are, what their identity is, the fact that they had 34 assists on 38 made field goals and assisted on every single basket, all 22 in the second half, really epitomizes who they are more so than game one.
Mark, when we look at the Warriors, I'm just wondering if we're sort of looking at the Warriors more as laundry in the logo than who the players are. My question is, how much can the Warriors continue losing to attrition and still be the Warriors? We don't know about KD, but it doesn't look very likely for Game 3. Kayvon Looney, it seems like his injury is getting worse by the moment. It went from chest now to shoulder, maybe collarbone. And obviously, you know, with a groin or a hamstring like Klay has, even if he says he's playing, it just takes one quick motion or burst and he's out. At what point does attrition make the Warriors less than the Warriors?
Yeah, they're getting close, Ira. I think their margin is definitely a lot slimmer than it traditionally is with the injuries to the guys that you mentioned, not to mention the fact even that Boogie Cousins extended himself minutes-wise yesterday. Iguodala's hurt, too. That's another guy who's kind of limping around out there, and he makes the big shot. I think what it comes down to is, you know, if they've got Steph out there, they're going to have a chance. He's the one guy that you have to have out there. And as you know, he was dehydrated last night. If he's out there, I think all they need is like what they showed in the third quarter. The Warriors play a game where they can just run up and down for, you know, 39 out of the 48 minutes, or they can run up and down, go through the motions for like 42 out of the 48 minutes. But all they have to do is put together 1 5- or 6-minute spurt in a basketball game and then play you even after that. Because that one spurt that they play, and Steph is usually out there for it, is so devastating that teams rarely recover from that. And that was the case yesterday in that 18-0 run that they had on the Raptors yesterday to start the third quarter. So as long as they can do that, they don't need, I think, the full complement of healthy guys. If they've got Steph out there, if they've got a somewhat healthy Klay Thompson, a somewhat healthy Iguodala. I mean, look at even Andrew Bogut comes off the bench yesterday and gives them 6 points in 7 minutes just at the right time. Their timing of their spurts is really what is holding them together right now. And I think it's built for the long game. They'll be able to withstand Toronto that way.
Well, and that's the other side of the equation. And getting beyond the fandom, I know Greg wants to ask you about that and everything going on in Canada from that perspective. The Raptors themselves, and you had a bunch of their games, It seems like every time I want to buy into the Raptors, Kyle Lowry's committing a stupid foul. Their offense goes a five-minute stretch without anything. Kawhi looks like he's on his last breath. Marcus Gasol goes from great to just a guy. Serge Ibaka goes from just a guy to nobody. Fred VanVleet might be hitting shots, but the rest of the other guys aren't. Mark, should I be sold on the Raptors as anything particularly special as an Eastern Conference champion? Like, what are they?
Yeah, I'm with you, Ira. It's hard for me to buy into a team who's really their second best player, Pascal Siakam, goes 5-for-18 yesterday after careering in game one. Marc Gasol was invisible yesterday, totally outplayed by Boogie Cousins. It wasn't even close. A guy who hadn't played in 6 weeks. And then Lowry, I'll give Kyle Lowry this. If he doesn't score, he only had 13 last night, he's still making good basketball plays, better for worse. Last night was, I think, more of a deviation than the norm for him in terms of that sixth foul, which was a real dumb one, and a couple of other plays. But he makes really invaluable effort plays. And I don't think that Fred VanVleet is going to continue to trend the way that he's trending right now. I mean, shooting the ball and scoring as well as he had, especially in a timely matter. It's hard for me to believe that the Raptors can go into Oracle and win a couple of games at this point of the series.
Mark Jones, play-by-play broadcaster from ESPN, joining us here on 560 WQAM, talking about last night's NBA Finals win for the Warriors to even the series at one game apiece. Mark, you already referenced the 18-0 run to start the second half for Golden State. What would you point to, if you can, as to why the Warriors are so consistently dominant in the third quarter, especially during this postseason run?
You know what? I think Steve Kerr is one of the best in the business, one of the top three coaches in the league. I think that he presses the right buttons. Last night, starting Boogie Cousins in place of Jordan Bell, I think that they have that championship medal and experience, which kind of senses when other teams can be vulnerable, and that's what happened to the Raptors yesterday. That comeback by the Warriors actually started at the end of the second quarter. They got that little run at the end of the period, which cut the lead to five, and they kept going. And they didn't stop until it was a double-digit lead. They have still one of the more explosive lineups in the NBA. When you look at, they got Steph, they got Klay. Boogie was out there doing his thing. A very underrated passer, dropped some great dimes yesterday. And Iguodala makes timely shots and plays. And defensively, they locked down. They had the Raptors go 0-for-8, I think it was, in that stretch during that 18-0 run. Iguodala and Draymond Green both got into Kawhi Leonard and totally neutralized him. They only have to do it, like I said, for 5 or 6 minutes at the start of the third quarter, and then they're working with a comfortable margin the rest of the way.
It's amazing. They can do it so well, and you make some good points there. Hey, Mark, I know you have ties to the Toronto area. So, what does being in the NBA Finals mean to the city, to the community, and even the country of Canada?
I think it's fantastic. I think that when you look at the history of basketball in Canada, and more specifically Toronto, where I grew up, there's always been an abundance of talent in the Southern Ontario, Toronto metropolitan area, about 3.2 million people. I think this growth, Greg and Ira, is actually late. It's late in coming, and I'll tell you why. I used to work in the media up in Toronto and work at one of the sports stations up there. And every time I tried to say, hey, guys, this is like the late 80s, early 90s, like more late 80s, like 87 through 90 before I left and joined ESPN and ABC, I would be fighting with my assignment editors up there. I'd be saying, hey, listen, guys, there's this Lakers-Celtics game. It's a big deal to basketball people in the city who watch NBA. And I would always get beaten down. They'd be like, oh, Jonesy, nobody cares. Nobody's watching. They would lead with NHL or curling or Formula One or tennis, anything but the NBA. And I think had the media been a little bit more tolerant of the sport, a little bit more open-minded of the popularity of the sport worldwide, you would have seen this movement in Canada and Toronto happen a decade ago. Isaiah Thomas went in there, was great in terms of promoting the sport, and met the same kind of resistance amongst the older demographic, the more traditional demographic that was resistant to what the NBA looked like, what it felt like. They never gave it a chance, but basketball is finally winning out, rightly so, up there, and I'm happy to see it.
Mark Jones, play-by-play broadcaster from ESPN, joining us here on 560 WQAM.
Mark, I'm curious. I want to stay on that track for one reason. One of my favorite trips in the NBA used to be is I go up to Portland, then I go to Seattle, then I go to Vancouver, two of the best cities to visit, especially on the NBA tour. Do you ever think there's a chance that Vancouver can get back in the game, that when Adam Silver shows up with Obama last night and you realize it's more than just a game, it's almost a movement in Canada right now? And I know the nation has its one team. They do have, you know, obviously baseball, it didn't work out as well in Montreal. Could you see a second team in Canada? Or do you think the concentration will just be that, you know, Toronto is Canada's team and that's where it is?
You know what, Ira, that's a great question, and I'm like you, man. I used to love doing that Portland, Seattle, Vancouver Grizzlies triple dip up there in the Northwest. It's a tricky demographic and dynamic, and I'll tell you why. Toronto is as American, quote-unquote, more American, quote-unquote, than any other city, in my estimation, in Canada. You don't have the American influence in Edmonton. You don't have that influence in British Columbia. You don't have the same influence in many of the other Canadian cities. And it's because when you look at the proximity of Canada to the American border, you know, it's a 90-minute, you know, hour, 15-minute drive from Toronto to Buffalo, New York.
Right.
All the TV and radio stations, music-wise, culturally, are influenced by, you know, the CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox affiliates in Buffalo. I grew up watching Van Miller. I don't know that Vancouver or any other Canadian city has that predominant, prevailing American influence where, you know, kids who grow up in Toronto, we grew up like we were basketball people. We were not... we weren't hockey guys. A lot of us were not hockey guys.
Right.
We weren't talking Maple Leafs. We were talking about Bob McAdoo and Ernie DiGregorio and Randy Smith. We weren't about that. So Toronto is very unique in that sense. I can't speak to Vancouver now like that. In 2019, they might have a better chance. But Toronto has so many wonderful ethnic groups that come from all over the world that support basketball, support the Raptors, and you see, I'll tell you this one story, okay?
Sure.
When I grew up in Toronto, it was more important in high school basketball to be voted all-city than it was all-Canadian.
Really? Okay? Wow.
Because the concentration of talent, we could have taken a team of basketball players from Toronto. I'm talking about Simeon Mars, my brother, myself, a bunch of guys like that, who would have beaten the national team back in the day.
Wow. Well, that gives you all the perspective you need right there. Mark, since we don't get to see you now for a while, for people who don't know, Mark takes a break with the league crew taking over the finals, comes back for Summer League. In between, while I'm trying to do free agency in the draft, Mark is sending me postcard pictures from all over Italy, and for that, I will forever hate you, but you deserve your time. My question to you, Mark, is this, and you and Hubie always have been so much about the game, which I've always appreciated, but we know free agency overwhelms this sport. Maybe like no other sport. The next time we see you, you're going to be in Summer League in Vegas during the heat of free agency, just about that signing period, which runs concurrently. From what you know, from what you've gleaned, from the inside information from your brother who handles radio play-by-play for the Raptors, Kawhi Leonard, do you think, number one, this series impacts his decision? Where do you think he winds up?
Yeah, I think his mind is made up. I think he's leaving for the Clippers.
Wow.
Clippers have had a scout at virtually every one of his games this year, whether it be on the road or at home. I think that whether he leaves, I don't think it matters whether he leaves now, because he's taken them further than that franchise has ever gone. And even against the backdrop of a one-year rental, this experiment with Kawhi has still been a success. I mean, you play really year to year. It's almost like the Pat Riley philosophy. We're not into building. Let's be into winning now. And the Raptors are taking their shot now. And I don't think you can find fault with Masai Ujiri having his team 1-1 in the NBA Finals right now, even if Kawhi Leonard leaves, because they'll start over if he leaves, and they'll try and get back there again. But at least they can say they've been there now. They've gotten there, and that was the goal.
Mark Jones, play-by-play broadcaster for ESPN, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Mark, with that in mind, you still have a lot of the series to go, but from the Raptors' perspective, do you think they should feel confident that the Warriors are banged up and we're interested to know about the injury status, or would you be discouraged if you're them that they couldn't take advantage of that opportunity last night?
I think we're going to look back at Game 2, and the Raptors are going to see an opportunity when the series is over that slipped away in a game that they should have won. With Clay hurt, with Looney out, with Durant not on the floor, they'll look back at that as an opportunity lost. And I think that Golden State wins this series in six. I'm going to stick to my initial prediction. I think they get home, they get just healthy enough. And, you know, I don't know that the Raptors role players like Fred VanVleet and some of their other guys off the bench, Norman Powell's been dynamite in the playoffs. I don't think they can duplicate what they've done at home in Oracle Arena, where the Warriors actually haven't played in a long time. So I think this comes back to Toronto with the Warriors leading 3-1, and they win it in six.
And then, Mark, just to get back to the point I was asking also about free agency, does that trouble you at all that overtakes the game, and maybe even during the draft, people talking about free agency, and then during summer league, people talking about free agency, or as someone who's ridden this ride for so long, even when you work with old school QB Brown, do you sort of appreciate that's just where the game is right now and that people are on to the next thing?
Yeah. You know what, Ira, it becomes a little bit of a distraction at times, but you know, everybody's talked about it year-round. The players kind of blow up on you once in a while if you ask too much about it, like Kyrie Irving did this year. Kawhi did a great job of dismissing it and not letting it be an issue right from the start. I think it's what makes the NBA as popular as it is right now. It has turned into 24-hour-a-day reality TV. And, you know, the speculation about Kawhi, about Kyrie, about Durant, about Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Klay Thompson. You can fill programming, which is what we all do, by just speculating about who's going to come back.
Sure.
And it makes for good theater. You know, I had one of the assistant coaches this year, a Western Conference coach, told me, "Mark, what is it about this league now? We're all actors. I feel like we're all actors."
Yes.
and to an extent, he's right. You know, we're actors in a big stage play, and that's part of the reason why it's a multi-billion dollar business right now. So I don't want to kill the golden goose. I love it.
And since we know
I'll feed that, the monster when I have to.
And since we know, probably since you gave your comment on Kawhi, Bleacher Report now has ESPN reporter says he knows where Kawhi is going. Let me take it a step further, Jonesy. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, since you know all see all, where do you think those two are going, Durant and Kyrie?
I think Durant is definitely going to New York next year.
Definitely.
I think only because the factor that the Knicks know that he's either coming or have some kind of tacit agreement, wink, wink, because they let Porzingis, and, you know, I know some of the dynamics behind Porzingis leaving. It happened so quick, it's almost like they wanted him to leave, knowing that KD was going to come.
They had his replacement.
I mean, his security card was done before he left the building after saying that he didn't want to be there. He didn't give him a chance to even give them a list of teams that he wanted to go to.
Right.
Okay? He was gone. So I Kyrie, I'm not so sure about. I could see Kyrie going to New York as well. You know, there's been some speculation about him going to Brooklyn, but, you know, they've already got, you know, they got D'Angelo Russell to deal with there.
Right.
They re-signed Dinwiddie on a deal during the course of the season. So I think New York gets at least one. I think New York's going to be a big winner in free agency.
Right.
I think Philadelphia is going to be a big winner in free agency. Yeah, I really do. I just got a sneaky feeling that, you know, you look what Elton Brand did during the regular season, being able to engineer those deals with Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. He's got a good feel for what's going on there, and they're not that far away. I think they're just you know, they had to get some scars this year.
Right.
And next year, I think they let those scars work for them.
If Jimmy Butler stays in Philly, who does LeBron get? Does LeBron get anyone, or do you think the dysfunction there leaves them with the hodgepodge like they had this year with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Rondo and Beasley and JaVale McGee? Who joins LeBron as his 1A?
Yeah, I think ultimately, I don't know whether it's sooner or later, I really think Anthony Davis is going to end up there. I know David Griffin, the new general manager of the Pelicans, is talking about, you know, him staying and building around him with Drew Holiday and Zion Williamson. But Anthony Davis and his representation, Rich Paul, are still bent on him going to the Los Angeles Lakers. And I just don't think there's any way of stopping it. They can be as stubborn as they want, but, you know, I don't think at the end of the day they're going to cut off their nose to spite their face.
Well, Jonesy, the only thing better than predictions is when someone immediately leaves the country so you can't be tracked down. So I appreciate the time. The next time I will see Jonesy will be in Vegas. And folks, if you've never seen Jonesy in his Elvis outfit at the buffet, it's like nothing you want to miss. So make sure you're out there starting July 5th.
I'll be there all week. Thank you very much.
Hey, Mark, thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy watching the rest of the NBA Finals, all right?
Thanks, Mark.
You got it, guys. Ira, Greg, talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right, there he is, Mark Jones, play-by-play broadcaster from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter, at MarkJonesESPN, and quite the predictions there. He seemed very confident.
I'm done. I'm writing my next 4 weeks' worth of stories as soon as I'm done now.
We figured out all the NBA's issues as far as free agency are concerned. Just ask Mark Jones.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.